I'm Stephanie.
All right, so I'm Stephanie Hoff. I'm here interviewing Mary Farmelo.
Yes.
About the 50th anniversary of the Dow demonstration.
Yes.
Today's October 19th, a year and a, or 50 years and a day after this. So
yes.
Please share your story and your experience.
Okay. Well, I was walking, I was a freshman and I was 17. And I was walking from Van Vleck, I don't know exactly where I was going, but, you know, heading up towards Langdon, etc. And the reason I stopped today was to actually ask you about a memory that I have that I'm not exactly sure whether it happened or if it has been a piece enlarged in my memory since that day. I was just approaching the hill about at the Carillon, and there were two white, unmarked, as far as I could remember, station wagons parked there, and I remember there being a dog in one of them, and it scared me a little bit because I remember it barking. Now, I don't know whether that was a police vehicle with a dog in the back of it or just somebody's dog. As I passed or approached the entrance to Commerce, I could see a bunch of people gathered in that back parking lot. I don't know if it's still there, behind Bascom. And there was a guy standing on the hood of a car because he was above everybody. And I think it was Bobby Cohen. Does that name sound familiar to you? I think that's who it was. So this was all very odd to me. There's a large gathering of people. And being curious, I headed that way. And I'm small, shortish, and they were up above, so I was trying to get close enough so that I could hear what he was saying. He didn't have a megaphone. He was just orating to the crowd. So I got myself Bascom here, right? And then Commerce is reset just a little bit like that. So I got myself kind of around the corner. And then all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. And people started rushing out of Commerce and running, and then there was gas, and they started running, and I got short and small and tangled up in the crowd. I fell, and there was a lot of gas at this point from wherever I was. And somebody picked me up by the back of my pants and got me up, and I started to tumble forward again. And it was a he. He picked me up and carried me all the way around the front of Bascom and dropped me at the foot of Lincoln. So I always remember that because it's probably the last time I sat and gazed up at Mr. Lincoln in that. But that's what I remember. You know, it's very short, it's very brief. I wasn't inside the building. But that's what I remember about the day. And the reason I stopped was about that other story, because it always kind of bothered me, because I may have made that association being so young about the dynamics of what was happening, and certainly what happened later, with what I had seen about what had happened in the South with repressive police behavior.
How did your experience with, you know, the tear gas and the crowd, how did that affect you with demonstrations thereafter about Dow?
Well, it enlarged from Dow, and it was about the Vietnam War. Mm-hmm. it and the connection from with Dow was the fact that they are a manufacturer of Agent Orange, and they were a chemical company that was participating in profiting from the war. How did it change what happened? Honestly, I'm a Madison native, and later on, it really made me angry, because this was not we didn't behave this way in Madison. The police didn't behave this way. This isn't how we behaved in my hometown, which back in the 50s and that, one might have even said it was relatively idyllic here. And it made me angry. And it made me, I eventually got myself later on in a position where I did get hit. I think he was trying to spank me. And he missed and hit me in the kidneys in the side. And that was very painful for a while. But that was probably my own damn fault, because I was being a sassy brat. And, for speaking my own mind. And I never threw rocks or did anything like that, but I certainly went out and marched afterwards. Did that answer your question? Did I deviate too far? I can still remember, oh gosh, now I'm not going to be able to say his name. Jaron Joe. He was the sheriff. We were down on Library Mall, and they were all lined up in front of the University Club. Huh. Protecting the University Club. Oh, my. Who'd have thunk it? Oh, shoot, I can't think of his name. But he was a small, wiry guy. And he had what almost looked like a marching helmet. Do you know when they used to parade sometimes, they would wear those helmets that were like World War II helmets, but they were always, you know, painted white or something like that. And he had that on, and I can remember him carrying like a little jodhpur stick. And he was just such an arrogant little son of a bitch. And I thought again to myself, this is just not the way we behave in Madison. But roll forward even a whole nother year. What the real impact it made on my life was it created a career path for me. By that time, I was living on Langdon Street by the following year. And there were times when we would demonstrate from probably after the 1:20 class period, maybe 2, 3 in the afternoon, and then we'd go home and watch ourselves on the evening news, because we were always being covered. So I was leaving, coming up State Street, and it was a windy, cold, fall, blustery day. And there used to be on the corner of Francis and State a Manchester's department store, a clothing store. And I was coming up the street, and I saw a cameraman and a reporter and a sound man. And it was Ike Pappas. Now, that means nothing to you, but he was a fancy... He was one of the guys from CBS, I believe, that was on site and reporting. Ooh, so this was kind of interesting. So I deviated and walked up to him, and the sound man, the window had been broken at Manchester's, and the sound man was holding his boom mic next to the broken glass, and it was kind of going... like that. And he looked up at me, and his eyes were all wide, and he went, oh, that's just going to sound great on the air. That's going to make great, Nat. And I thought to myself, he's really passionate about this, about all of this. I think I want to be a part of that. So I ended up becoming a communication arts major and eventually started at WHA and went through broadcast television and made my career from kind of the impetus of the storyteller side, from encountering the storyteller side of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Is there anything else you'd like to share about your time on campus during...
Well, it was truly... It was truly frustrating at times, but also gratifying. I can remember one march, and I don't remember where I joined it, but again, I was living on Langdon Street, so we could have come down like Gilman or something like that and gotten into state. We were midway up the Bascom Hill, and I turned around, and there were people all the way back to the Capitol, filled on either side. And I thought, why can't they hear us? Why doesn't the government hear us? Which word don't they understand about what we're trying to say? Why are they ignoring it? So it gave me a distrust of government, probably up until this day. It's been a long time since I've sung the national anthem. And that's about it. The only other big moment was when Martin Luther King died and we went up University Avenue. And again, I joined from the side and I could see, I used to go to First Congregational Church and the Reverend Swan was in the front of the line with Rabbi Swarovski. And I'm going to forget her name, too. You know, there were very few black people in Madison. They taught at First Congregational, and there was another black man there, and he must have been from the AME church, and came around the corner, and they went by. And so I recognized these people because this is my hometown. And I was marching with an erstwhile boyfriend at that point, and all of a sudden, he gives me an elbow, and he says, look over there, across the street at the, over there. Isn't that your mom and dad? And it was. So those times are quite a roller coaster ride for me.
All right. Well, thank you so much for sharing and coming in and taking the time. So
let me know.